In the text that you have before you, there is a rather long introduction, and we'll look just at the first sentence and then skip down to the actual beginning of the story of the myth of Er, or Ur, depending on how you pronounce this soldier's name. And the fundamental center of this story, which Plato is presenting as a myth, is the phrase that is highlighted on the text, "How many and how great are the rewards which justice and the other virtues procure to the soul from gods and men, both in life and after death." Plato is saying that it's not just a question of living in this life in a way that allows us to take the vision of contemplation, of beholding the glories of God in creation, of seeing through to the truth, which for him is the threefold vision of the good, the true, and the beautiful. It's not just a question of seeing those things and of living them out for the betterment of society. This has an effect on our souls. It has a very profound effect on what will happen to us after death. He believed in a judgment after death, and that's the reason that I've given the picture from the Sistine Chapel of the Last Judgment as a kind of a visual reminder of what this myth is about. It was believed that what you did in this life had consequences in the life to come, not only in the Jewish tradition, but in the Greek philosophical tradition coming from Plato as well. So, dropping down, if you move down on this page, you'll see that there's a wonderful passage that's highlighted in which Plato says, "All things will in the end work together for good," to him, to a person who lives life in virtue, in life and in death. Very, very like what we find St. Paul saying about all things working together for good. And he says that to be like God, as far as man can attain the divine likeness, is really what virtue is all about. To try to be like what our mythology depicts the gods and goddesses as being, at their best, not at their worst, as in the Greek mythological tradition sometimes showed them to be. If we drop on down, I'm sorry about these two black squares. There are links that unfortunately did not come through, but that's where the myth, the story of Er, actually begins. And I apologize that we have to go through this so quickly, and also that I speak rather quickly, but again, I do not want these audio files to be overly large, because that will make it impossible to download for those who don't have access to a very quick, rapid system of communication with the internet. So the story is that the soldier Er died in battle, but 10 days afterwards, when they were in the process of getting ready to deal with the bodies, it was found that actually his body didn't look dead, and sure enough, he woke up, and he told people what had happened in this state of kind of out-of-body experience. He says that his soul left his body, and he went on a journey with a great company, and then he saw the places to which souls were sent. And again, please reread this. This is just intended as a kind of a general introduction to the story. He sees the places to which souls go, and he sees the fates of souls. He sees souls departing at a kind of a junction where they either go on to the heavens or back into the earth. In other words, they're going to be judged, and not only will they be judged, but they are coming into the place of judgment from the previous life that was itself the result of a previous judgment. They've either known delight and rest and heavenly joy, or they've come from a place of punishment in the earth. Notice the examples of what those punishments consisted in, and the examples that Plato gives of those who have been evil. Er goes on to say that the universe itself is held like a great spindle, and that the goddesses of necessity and of the sirens are singing both the fates and the interrelationships of both the planetary spheres. We'll talk more about this when we look at Cicero's Dream of Scipio. That's how the universe was understood. But also the fates of human beings were bound up with the very structure of the universe itself. There's a description of what the universe is like. And finally, towards the end of the story, a description of the choice that the soul has. The souls that are not immediately condemned to a kind of judgment are offered the opportunity of deciding how they want to be reborn, what kind of human being they wish to become in the next life, or they don't even have to become a human being if they'd rather become an animal. And you'll find Plato rather tongue-in-cheek describing the effects of the varying souls, some of whom would have been very well known to his readers. Orpheus, who was torn to pieces at the end of his life, decides that he doesn't even want to come back as a human being. He's had enough of love and had enough of the struggle of romance. Agamemnon, who is the great hero, one of the great heroes of the Iliad, decides not to come back as a human being either, decides to become an eagle because he's so tired of and sick of human nature by reason of his sufferings. Odysseus, the hero of the Odyssey, who was such a clever person, is just tired of being clever, and so instead he simply wants to become a simple, ordinary person. And the various goddesses who are responsible for weaving the tapestry of human fate, Clotho and Atropos and Lachesis, all are involved in this process of what it is people choose and then how they become, as it were, a part of this great tapestry. Plato is saying that all of us are making choices in this life that influence what we will become in the next. If our goal and our hope is to move towards union with the One by leading the best and most virtuous life that we possibly can, then we will find that the choices or the reincarnations, as he describes them, which we then undertake will continue to facilitate this movement towards the good. But if instead we want power or authority or we opt for the vices, then we will find ourselves moving downward into an escalating spiral of punishment and pain from which we'll have to move in subsequent lifetimes. So this provides us with a little bit of the background in the Greek philosophical tradition, which was inherited by Christianity, but which was also retold in a Latin idiom by Cicero in his book, Republic, which is the title of the book by Plato, in which both the myth of Ur and the parable of the caves are found. And we will now turn to the retelling of this story in the next lecture by Cicero in his Dream of Scipio.